Good morning, Community Church. Today is the first day of the Advent season, the first Sunday of the Advent season, and so we celebrate that by going to a different series, a series that asks the question, what is Christmas all about? It reminds me of Linus in the Peanuts cartoon, the moment when Charlie Brown is just so overwhelmed by all of the trappings of Christmas, the money and the commercialism and all of these things, and he's trying to do this play, and he finally says, "Will somebody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And Linus says, "I'll tell you, Charlie Brown." Walks out to the middle of the stage and says, "Lights, please." And begins to give the understanding of the truth of what Christmas is about. It is about the incarnation of the living God becoming flesh. It describes the angels that came with joy that night, celebrating and worshiping God and delivering the message to these poor shepherds, who then went and saw the living Christ and worshiped him in that day. This is the celebration that we have, that we celebrate who Christ is in his incarnate form, God made flesh and dwelling among us. So this morning, as we take time in God's word and a time of prayer, I pray that you will learn and grow, especially as we ask the question, what is his name? What is Christmas all about? What is his name? Let's pray. Father in heaven, please bless us as we study your word together this morning. Bless understanding to those who listen. Lord, that we would consider who you are and what the prophecies of you and who you would be. Lord, help us to have a clarity of thought and in this time, even if we're at home, to set aside everything else and to open up your word and to study it together. And so, Lord, bless us now and as we come, and may your words fill the hearts of your people, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's unique that we're able to do this, and I praise God for it. But let's look at God's word together. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet 700 years before Jesus was born. So 700 years before he was born, this man had amazing visions from God as he lived in a time of turmoil through various different kings in the country land of Judea. And in Judea and Israel, the nation had been split many years before. And there was the northern nation of Israel, and then there was the kingdom of Judah. And King Ahaz was the king of Judah during this time. And as King Ahaz was the king there, he was very afraid because the king of Aram had come and occupied up the upper kingdom of Israel. And he and the king of Israel were planning to come and attack Judah. And so King Ahaz didn't know what to do, and he was bereft, and he was asking for help, and he was looking for foreign nations to try to help him out, even so far as looking to Egypt to help out these Jewish people. Well, he was so concerned in this way that God sent Isaiah to speak to King Ahaz. And he asked Ahaz, he says, "Ask me of a sign, I promise you, that I will see you through. Ask me a sign. A sign as deep as Sheol, which is the place where the dead are, or as high as the heavens. Ask me a sign." And King Ahaz said, no, I won't put God to the test. This is all in chapter 7 of Isaiah. I will not put God to the test, he says. And Isaiah the prophet says this, "Hear me then, O house of David. Is it not too little that you weary men that you would now weary God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will give birth, and she will bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we've heard this prophecy before, maybe many different times, but think about the different parts of it. A virgin will give birth, miraculous, powerful. How can this woman who has never been with a man now give birth? And not only will she give birth, but she will give birth to one that she will call Emmanuel, which in the Hebrew means God is with us, or God with us, as Matthew translates it in his gospel. God with us. This is the most powerful sign that could ever be given and was given right there to Ahaz. I'm sure Ahaz was scratching his head, not quite understanding what the implications of this would be. The whole world would not know it until 700 years later, when Jesus would be born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit of God and come and be God with us. We now will see, well, what is his name? Well, his name is Emmanuel, but he has certain titles that go with that name. He continues with this theme in Isaiah chapter 8. He continues on with this theme, and he speaks of the name Emmanuel in verse 8 and verse 10, talking of God and this one Emmanuel, speaking of him and saying how wonderful he is and how powerful he is and how he is God with us. And then he continues into chapter 9, and that is where we get an even greater understanding. As we look at chapter 9, at the top of chapter 9, we have to understand that he begins to speak of where the hope comes from, where this very hope that will happen will come to. And he even speaks of the area of Galilee and speaking of that place. And we understand that Joseph and Mary came down from Galilee to Bethlehem. We'll get in a later prophecy about Bethlehem being the place in which the Messiah will be born, this Christ, this Emmanuel, this one with us. But right here in Isaiah, we see that it will be from Galilee that this hope will come. And as we see this in chapter 9, we see this very truth in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That's this very same one that he had in chapter 7, this one that would be born of a virgin, this Emmanuel. So think of him here, especially as it says, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called, his name, that the word in Hebrew is singular. Now I'm going to read four different things, and sometimes people get confused and think, oh, he's got all of these different names. These titles describe his name, God with us, Emmanuel. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forward and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So let's look at the first title of his name. His name, Emmanuel. Well, his first title, it reveals his wisdom. It reveals his wisdom. Wonderful Counselor. He will be the one who will guide us. This Emmanuel who will come, he will guide us like no other. Israel had foolish kings. Ahaz kind of proved that. But God promises a king who will come in wisdom, come with wisdom that never fails. Pel Yoritz. Pel Yoritz is the Hebrew for this. Pel meaning wonderful, exceptional, extraordinary, beyond human capability. It is the ultimate wisdom and knowledge that there could ever be. It is the highest pinnacle, and it would only describe God himself. So this one who will be wonderful will be so extraordinary that he is God-like. God-like in what? Yoritz. He will be God-like in his counsel. He will be God-like in his coming with understanding and knowledge. But he doesn't just have it. He imparts it. That's the idea of a counselor. He comes to impart this wisdom, to give us this wisdom. He doesn't keep it for himself. And this wisdom is wisdom that is from God. In fact, Isaiah in Isaiah 28:29 speaks of the Lord himself. He says, "This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom." So we know that the very words that this one Emmanuel who comes, who is of God, will come and speak, he will speak the wisdom of God. He is the one who will proclaim divine truth for us, the teaching that Jesus shared while he was on earth. Was this very truth, wasn't it? This very wisdom that was beyond understanding, people would be blown away by his teaching. They would be so shocked. Think about his Sermon on the Mount, how he brought a greater understanding of the kingdom of God and what it looks like, and truly turns the world upside down in its understanding. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be sons of God. They shall inherit the earth. And he completely changes the understanding of even Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, who believed that he had all of this righteousness from all of the things that he did, and understanding that Jesus was a wise teacher and one sent from God, he says. But then he's told by Jesus, no, you need to be born again. And he gives the wisdom and the understanding of what God is doing to save and redeem us. Think of the parables, the various parables that he told so that certain people would hear and other people would not. And even to this day, we can only scratch the surface of a parable. The deeper and the deeper we go, the greater the depth of knowledge of each one of those parables. He also spoke about the moral law of God, and he spoke about the kingdom of heaven and the realities of hell like no one else had ever spoken of hell before. He gave such depth and understanding of the gnashing of teeth and the very truths of what one would go through if they were to suffer the justice of God forever in hell. He also spoke of love and forgiveness. And he also spoke of service and self-sacrifice. He was the very example to us of God's wisdom. And so Christ is the very guide to us of understanding, the very word of God, John 1:1, the very word of God with us. His very spirit, John 16:13, was with us to lead us and to guide us in his ways, as he says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways in which you should go. I will counsel you and have my eye upon you. This is a wonderful counselor, one with the most excelling wisdom ever, who comes and imparts it and shares it with us. Because his name is Emmanuel, he will never leave us without guidance. He will always guide us. He will always lead us. So we need to seek him for his counsel and advice before we seek the world, before we go on Google, before we call up a friend or a family member. I want you to take time in whatever problem you might have this week, big or small or big, and look to God's word first. See what God has instructed in his truth and pray about it. Consider it and what God would have you do through the wisdom of Christ. Look not only to the Gospels, look into the whole word of God. and see what God has instructed. Well, not only is he a wonderful counselor, he is the wisdom and the guide to us, but he is also our salvation. His name reveals salvation. Mighty God, it says. He defends us. He delivers us. He saves us. This child is not merely from God. He is God. I want you to understand that. What Isaiah was receiving in this prophetic, powerful statement was that he will be God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, and he will be mighty God. El Gabor in Hebrew, El Gabor, and El meaning God. And it, Gabor meaning a warrior or one who is mighty or one who is a hero. He will be the hero God. He will be the warrior God. He will be the God who takes action. He will be the one who comes. So he is God with us with wisdom, but he is also God moving ahead, striking at the very heart of what assails us the greatest and destroying it. And that's our own sin and where we stand before God in unrighteousness. This is Christ coming down to deal with the greatest enemy of all, our sinfulness that came from the fall in the garden all the way to where we are walking in sin today. Isaiah 10:21 said, "A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God." This very El Gabor. Many of these passages in the Old Testament echo that God himself is this hero God who comes down. And so it makes sense that Emmanuel, this one who will come down, will have this trait of mighty God. He will be active as a hero. Deuteronomy 10:17, "For the Lord your God, he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, great and mighty and awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe." Well, unlike Ahaz, who wanted to trust in foreign armies to fight for him, God fights for us, brothers and sisters, and he did this through Jesus Christ, as I described. Remember the scene in Mark chapter 4, as they're on the ship and the storm is coming and Jesus is asleep in the ship and the disciples are afraid for their lives and they wake him up and he commands, he turns and he commands and calms the seas. He says, "Peace, be still." And the wind is calmed and the sea settles down. Remember when he walked on the water? And all of the times he commanded demons and rebuked them. He fed thousands and he healed thousands more. He came down to die for our sins so that we would be his people. He went to the cross with the joy set before him. Consider that. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that he saw the joy and he scorned the shame. He considered all of that worth fighting through, that he would see to it that his people were saved. That was the joy that he had before him, knowing that he was fulfilling not only his Father's will, but the salvation of his people. So who faces death with joy, even though he's going through sorrow and pain? A hero, one who is powerful and mighty and able to save. Hebrews 7:25 says this, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him." To the uttermost. No greater love has a man than that he lay down his life for his friends, Jesus said. In John 15:13. "And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father, John 10:18. Christ proves that he is the Savior and that he defeated sin in Colossians 2:15. It says this, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities and made a public spectacle of them and triumphing over them by the cross. This is a heroic God. This is Emmanuel, God with us, El Gabor. He is mighty in these ways. And because his name is Emmanuel, you don't need a backup savior. You don't need anyone else but Christ. Trust him and his power alone to save you. He is a heroic God. He is the one who saves all those who believe in his name. So the question is, do you believe in his name? Do you trust in his name? His name, Emmanuel, God with us, has many titles. And let's look at the next one here. The next one is Everlasting Father. It reveals his care for us. It reveals his care, not only his wisdom as wonderful counselor, not only his might to save us as mighty God, but he is also Everlasting Father. Now, don't get confused here as if the Trinity is somehow mixed up because you got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're all one God. This is talking about a title. It's talking about a character of Christ. And this character is one of everlasting fatherly care to us. Provision, protection, going all the way to tend to us in our needs and to be there for us. As a loving father would, as a shepherd would care for his flock, so too is Jesus, the great shepherd. He is the one who is the everlasting protector. Emmanuel means God with us, and that means God who cares for us forever. He is in many ways an overseer of our lives. He is the one whose heart and whose purpose is to provide to for us that which we cannot do. And the first thing he did was he sacrificed himself for us. But then he continues to walk with us. Paul talks about the Spirit of Christ being with us, the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, the other counselor will not come. And so that was Jesus' heart, to have us always provided for and not leave us as orphans, but instead as sons and daughters who walk with him in joy. The psalmist wrote of this, and he said in Psalm 71:17, may his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people bless him and all the nations bless him. Isaiah 63:16, for you are our father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge you, you, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer. From of old is your name. God has always been father in this way. And wouldn't it make sense that Jesus, who came and he said, everything that I say, the Father has given me to say. Everything that I do, I've seen my Father do. I am here to do my Father's work. He would continue that even now in his care and his shepherding for you and for I. And he will do that now in this life, and he will do this always, forever, in eternity. He will be the one who watches over us. He does not abandon us, not from life, not from death, and not for eternity. And because he is Emmanuel, we will never be spiritually orphaned. Hallelujah. You belong to him now, and you belong to him forever. Glory to God. Well, the last name that we see here is probably one of the most beautiful of all. And this is often what we refer to as we think of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. His name reveals his reconciliation. His work of reconciliation and his rule of reconciliation, meaning his reign, his sovereignty, his ownership, his dominion. Not just peace through compromise or negotiation, like Jesus has somehow like worked out some way that we can have a better relationship with God because he kind of made a bargaining. No, Jesus gave all out peace through victory of conquering our sin and death by his own. This is how he is Shar Shalom in the Hebrew. Shar meaning prince or governor of peace, shalom. This is how he restores us. This peace that comes from the culmination of the eternal plan of redemption is all found in Jesus, Emmanuel. Shalom is really a greater thing than just having a peace that came through wonderful negotiations from politicians, which is always tenuous. This is a peace that is so rock solid and so steady that it affects our vertical relationship with God. We are restored now. We're no longer enemies. We're now just as his son. We're accepted. We're beautiful in his sight because we are part of his son through his death. And so that restores us. We're no longer enemies. We have that peace with him. And not only do we have that peace with him, but we also have this peace with one another. Even though we were estranged from God and enemies and rebels and sinners in his sight, yet he made a way. And this prophecy spoke of the very Emmanuel that would give us this hope and the peace that would bring back those who are lost and estranged from one another. And Paul sees this as he writes in Ephesians 2, 14 to 16. Let me read that for you. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. This would be between Jews and Gentiles and how they would have this hostility, even as they would not believe and they'd be believing in different gods or they'd be believing in Yahweh. Christ has brought them together by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances that he might create in himself a new man in place of two. So making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. We have peace with one another because Christ has given us such a peace that comes from God that we can now love each other in forgiveness and acceptance and realize that we're all one in Christ. This does away with ethnicity. This does away with social status. This does away with all of these power plays that people try to have in this world, trying to see who's better than the other. It doesn't matter. We are in Christ. Shar Shalom, the Prince, has brought us to peace. And you know what that brings us? To know that we're restored with God and we're restored with one another. This brings us peace in our souls. Paul wrote of this in Philippians 4, 7 and talked about this peace. He said, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that means any single circumstance in your life, it blows it away. It makes no sense why you got this peace. He says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Emmanuel, Shar Shalom, the wisdom of God, the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We were filled with hostilities. We were filled with selfishness and sinful intent, and he came selflessly, heroically, and brought us into his dominion, which is peace, the place in which he lives, which all things are conquered and taken care of and he governs over it with wisdom and goodness and grace. His kingdom brings an end to the whole conflict. Isaiah 2:4 says this, "And he shall judge the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and he shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore under this Prince of Peace, under this Shar Shalom, under Emmanuel in his name." And Revelation 4:21 reflects this as well. "One day he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away." Because his name is Emmanuel, true peace comes only through his rule. Because his name is Emmanuel, peace comes only through his rule over us. So submit to him. Submit to him. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. That name explains these four titles so well. He is the God who guides us. He is our wonderful counselor. He is the God who saves us. He is mighty God. He is the God who cares for us. He is everlasting Father. And he is the God who restores us. He's the Prince of Peace. Emmanuel has come, brothers and sisters. But is he with you? Have you believed in him and all that he is? Have you trusted in Christ alone for your salvation? Or are you still looking for something else in your life that will fill you up? Nothing else will, because no one else will give you peace. No one else will care for you like him. No one else will save you as he has saved you. And no one else will guide you through the rigors and the trials of this life like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you to submit to his wise counsel. Trust in his mighty power. Rest in his fatherly care. And surrender to his rule of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the prophecy of Emmanuel. Thank you for the one who came to be with us, and that was you. You, O God, came down, Son of God. You were here with us in the flesh, one of us. And yet you were so much more. You were God present with us to save us, to give us wisdom and guide us, to give us all that we need, O Lord, to care for us and to give us peace. And we praise you, O God, now and forever. May our hearts be drawn to you. And to anyone who is not surrendered to your truth, may this day be the day that they believe in Emmanuel, that God has come down and that he was incarnate. He was in flesh and lived among us, died for us and rose again and now reigns on high until he returns. And we look forward to that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you, and I hope that you have a wonderful Lord's Day.